Mr. Jewett, reel 3. What uniform were you issued with?
Now, the amount of equipment and uniform was quite formidable. And as I said before, at kit inspection, it had always had to be laid out in service fashion, up to perfection, otherwise you were in trouble. But you had, for a start, you had two blue suits, navy blue serge suits, sailor suits, that's trousers and a jumper. And then you also had two silks, what they call silks. They were the black silks that went round your collar. You also were issued with two collars, that's the navy blue collars with the three stripes on the back. You were issued with those. You were issued with socks. You were issued with two pairs of socks, two pairs of underpants, and two pairs of shorts. You were also issued with two sets of pyjamas. You were issued with shoes, and you were issued with slippers. These were remarkable slippers. They were made of leather. They were monk-style shoes, and they were made of leather. You were issued with those. And you were absolutely kitted right out. Oh, and of course, obviously, you were issued with a white cap, a white sailor's cap, and a black sailor's cap, because one's for summer, one's for winter. And of course, you would have... you were issued with two cap bands with HMS Ganges on the cap bands, on the cap band. And also you were issued with two lanyards. Now, most boys later in life became bosuns. They got a bosun's call. They qualified for a bosun's call, and that did away with the lanyard. But whilst otherwise you had to have a lanyard. Round the side, underneath which went round your thing. You also were issued with a belt, and they were rather nice linen, very very strong linen belts with a money patch bag clipped onto the belt. I think it's about all. Handkerchiefs. You got handkerchiefs as well. Half a dozen handkerchiefs. You got all sorts of things. They completely kitted you out to live there. You were finished with civilian.
Did they issue with boots?
Yes.
Heavy boots?
Yes, two pairs of boots. You had one for number ones, which always used to have to be balled up, you know, for your programs. Another one for another set of boots for... you also had plimsolls. I forgot this as well. You had plimsolls, one set of plimsolls. You also had two pairs of white shorts for the gym, and you also had two jumpers, which they used for use in the gym. They were, I can't really call them now. They were linen jumpers with white collars, navy blue they were, and all boys wore them in their leisure time. You know, they used to wear white shorts and these linen jumpers in their leisure times, in their leisure period. Number threes, I think they called them, or number fours.
How were they issued? How did you actually receive all this?
Oh, you received them at a there was a store, or I suppose with a counter, a long counter, and it would be about 15, 20 feet long, maybe more, with three or four people behind it, supply assistants behind it. And as you went through, you collected everything as you went through, and then reported back to your mess, you see, with a great load. Oh, you also had a kit bag, I forgot to mention that, a naval kit bag with your name, but... These people in the stores, the things that you couldn't, such as a kit bag, they used to put your name on it. They used to do it while you were there. They used to put your name on it. And, a ditty box. I forgot the ditty box. That's a wooden box about 12 inches by 8 inches by 6 inches, I suppose, round about there, with a brass plate on the front with your name on it, and your name, F.T. Jewett, or John Smith, or whatever there was, on a brass plate on the front of your ditty books. That's to keep your letters and things like that in, you know, things like that. And brushes too. I forgot that. Brushes, they issued with it. I've still got some of the brushes which were issued to me as a boy. Now, that will tell you how good they were. There was a brush for putting on the black, putting the polish on your boots. For polishing it off, there was a clothes brush. Two shoe brushes, clothes brush, and you got toothbrushes and toothpaste, and the toothpaste was in a tin. It was horrible stuff, but it was in a tin. They used to give you that, and But they give you just about everything you could think of. They would give you. They gave us, you know. Should be fair.
About sizing you, so you got the right size, did they?
Oh yeah, they sussed you out. They had your size. They had your size and everything. They had your. In fact, my size then was 5'8¼. It's on my service certificate when I joined. It's still on to this day because I grew much more than that as time went on. But when I joined the Navy, I was 5'8". And
it wasn't issued army style where they threw the uniform back.
No. They were pretty. No, they
had to go to the.
No, they couldn't do that. No, they couldn't do that. It was done properly. You know, it was done properly. Later on in life, naval sailors were very fussy. They had their own tailors. You know, Bernards. You know, they used to have an allotment, 2 shillings a week to Bernards. You know, for their own. They were very fussy later on, but because you did get a kit allowance in the Navy. A lot of people don't know that, but you did. You got a kit allowance in your Navy with your pay. But that came later. We're talking about my boy as a second class boy, about the lowest of the low. I think perhaps even lower than a midshipman. And
Can we come back to the messes now, the rooms that you were in?
Very spacious, with a bed.
And you think you said about 20 people, did you say?
Yes, about 20. And you were very quickly taught how to fold blankets up, because your bed had to be, when you had to be made up and fold, each blanket was all sort of to the fraction of an inch. There were three blankets that were refolded up, and the pillow on top, and your ditty books.
The squared up.
That's right. Yes, and the bed itself, and the chief petty officer who took us. There was one called Dodger Long. He was the chief, and Jerry Fletcher was the PO, and they're both GIs actually. And
sorry, what's a GI?
Gunnery instructor. That was what I said to you. They were both GIs. And they took us all the way through. They took me anyway, and they took us through to the now. While we were there, you asked me a question just now. While we were there, they asked us. There were four branches we could be in, and I didn't know much about it. One was a seaman branch, and the other was, now the seaman branch was divided into two, gunnery and torpedoes. They were the two branches for the seaman branch. Aztecs wasn't in those days. The second thing you could be in was the communications branch, and that was divided into two. That was in what they call VS, visual signals, and WT, wireless telegraphy. So you could be a telegraphist, or you could be a bunting tosser, you know, with the flags. You know, you've seen the flags on ship. Well, that's the VS, visual signals. So, and they gave us, they asked us what we would like to be. And, of course, they gave us the choice of whatever, you know, because it was a longer course. The communications courses were longer. They were about 12 months. They were much longer than the seaman's course. The seaman's course was less, but it was pretty...
And you chose?
I chose to be a seaman. Because they told us that for quick promotion, the seaman's, it was known as the executive branch. That was the gunnery branch was the quick, for quick, if you wanted quick promotion or wanted promotion, that was the one to go for, which I did. I thought, oh, well, hell with that, I'll go for quick promotion. But I enjoyed gunnery, actually. It so happens it, I took to it like a duck takes to water.
That was, of course, we'll come to that. So to go back to the messes, there were 20 in this room and the beds.
Yes, sir.
Were they comfortable beds?
Yeah, they were all right. First night away, I cried my eyes out. Again, I really was homesick. I cried my eyes out. And yes, they were comfortable. And there was no... And there was no cruelty or anything like that. There was a bit of bullying that came later. Later on, when we went to the main barracks. Things.
But at this stage...
Nobody. There were two kinds of boys, actually. We met two kinds of boys there. We met what they call ship boys. Now, these ship boys were from the training ship Arethusa. These ship boys were from various places, such as... One I can remember was the T.S. Arethusa. Arethusa boy. And there was other ones I can't recall, to tell you the truth. But there were other... kids who'd come from Dr. Bonanno's homes and places like that. They were called ship boys. And they had a good start on us, you know, because they knew all the dots and splices, bends and hitches and what's have you. And of course, when we, in this initial 6 weeks, you're in the annex for 6 weeks before you go to the main battle, and you learn to march, and you learn to march. But I had a start there because I'd been in the boys' brigade. You remember, I knew a little bit about marching and turning right and turning left and all that sort of thing. So I was a little bit lucky there, you know, in different ways.
Could we, before again we go on to this, with the 20 people that were in you, what are your memories of those 20 people? What were their backgrounds?
Oh, I don't know much about their backgrounds, to tell you the truth, but they were typical. You had to assert yourself. You were either in a violent way or whatever, but you did have to assert yourself. And they were, I think a lot of them were from similar backgrounds to mine. Some of them, I think, were orphans and things like that, which of course were Dr. Bernardo's and things like that sort of thing. And there was quite a few of those. The Navy took very kindly to those sort of, I think they...
Was there a kind of pecking order established in the head?
Not really. There was and there wasn't. For example, I experienced... there was a sort of... No, I can't say there was a pecking order, because nobody knew who was who. It was too dicey at that end to start asserting yourself, because, you know, it was only when we went to the gym that, I mean, that nobody knew anything about me, that they started saying, hey, I thought, well, they probably did, because I never had any trouble at all. No way.
They were a good crowd, aren't they?
Yeah, they were. Oh, absolutely. These boys were marvellous. Yeah, absolutely. Keeping that way, they were terrific.
Keeping the hut clean, which would be your daily task, how was that done?
That was done. Mops, scrubbers, brooms, polish. It was absolutely immaculate. You could literally eat your breakfast off those plates. The discipline was instilled into you right from the word go. There was no slowly easing into it, you know, no softly, softly or gently, gently. It was very, very, very right from the go. You were in at the deep end, right bash. That was it. Some kids.
Was this a morning task or an evening task, keeping the room clean?
Oh, day. No, during the day. Well, part of the day, you know, they clean.
We'll come to a typical day. The ablutions, where were they in relation to?
They're called heads.
Heads in the Navy.
Yeah,
right.
And actually, in the heads, now the heads have got what they call the heads. That's where boys used to go to get a sneak fag, you know, a cigarette. Now, funnily enough, cigarettes in the Navy, smoking in the Navy as a boy was absolutely taboo. If you were caught, first time you were caught, you got 7 days jankers. Jankers is running around the playground and all the rest of it, you know. Second time you were caught, you got 14 days. And the third time, you got six cuts over the cane, over your buttocks. And that was done very, very formally. I mean, it's not done just sort of like it was at school. Very different. You had a duck suit on. I mean, I didn't get it, but my mates did. You've got a duck suit on, and you go down to the gym, and you're stretched over the vaulting horse. And there's this great big crusher. He's got the stick, and the doctor's standing there. And he whacks it six down. Now, six doesn't sound much, but when they're in the same place, oh boy, you don't know, I forget it. That where they cross the parallel. I saw what. And you got
this
six of them.
This is a bad bottom, is it?
No, no. But you had your duck suit on.
And what's a duck suit there?
Well, it's stretched tightly over your butt. It's very tight. It's a very tight canvas, light canvas suit, you know. They call it a duck suit, you know. It's canvas, you know, like got no protection in there, nothing at all. And but this, the next time you were caught, it was discharged with dishonourable discharge.
But in a sense, they had to look after you morally as well as physically.
That's right. And when, as I say, you were also issued with a Bible, a prayer book, and. Also, you were encouraged, you could take, I took my, I was actually confirmed by the Bishop of Norwich. He confirmed me at HMS Ganges. That's where I was confirmed. and they were very, very keen. I won the scripture prize of all things. Of course, I had to as a choir boy, like, you know. But that's where it.
Was there any other furniture in the room other than the beds?
Just a table, just one table.
And that would have been
where, yes, that's right, because the table was where you ate. You see, where you.
What about
it.
Heating? Keeping you warm?
Oh, it was quite warm. They had these big radiators, actually. But over in the main barracks, they had stoves. You know those central stoves. You know that.
Can you take me through a typical day in that first 6 weeks when you were?
Yes, as far as I can remember, I tried.
What time starting from Reveille?
Reveille was at 6:30.
And was that by bugle or?
Bugle. Oh, it was all. Everything's by bugle. You get up and you get what is called is cocoa and biscuits. Now, when I say cocoa, it's about as much like cocoa that you've ever heard of. It's like a greasy brown mess with no sugar, just a slab of cocoa in hot water and a ship's biscuit. That was what you got for a biscuit. That was your breakfast when you got up in the morning. But nobody minded. I mean, no, we didn't see any hardship then. Now, you got that down here. The next thing is you fell in for your laundry, because you'd have to go down to the laundry, because when you went to the laundry, you had to scrub up and do all your duck suits had to be done, because you march around in those, you see. You march around in your blues, you march around in duck suits with a belt on and gaiters.
And you had to clean that yourself, anything?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, absolutely. All your washing, you scrubbed it with a great big hand scrubber and soap, you know, and it was put in the hydro and it dried, and then you brought it out and wrapped it, rolled it up, because your kit is kept rolled up, and by rolling it up, you press it. It's a rather strange thing. It's tightly rolled up with clothes stops, and it presses your clothes for you. Of course, you didn't worry about your shirts, because they just your whites, you know, they came across them. They did have ironing down at the, if I remember rightly, in the laundry. But that was what time did I say that was? That was before.
We've had Reveille, we've had your cup of cocoa, yeah. And you've gone to do your laundry.
With laundry, right? We march back from the laundry with your laundry, etc., and then that would be put in your bed, in your locker, and all the rest of it. And then it would be breakfast time. And it would be the cooks had to go and collect the breakfast.
And where did you have breakfast?
In the mess. That's right. Yeah.
And the designated people, as you say, cooks. You say.
Yeah, the cooks. Yeah. Each mess had its own cooks, and there were great big trays, you know, and they scooped it out with fried egg, you know, sort of thing, one each, you see, and so forth. But that was more or less the breakfast. Then after that, you went marching.
Just to get this picture clear, these cooks went to the cookhouse.
Yeah,
and they collect brought
it. Yeah,
they brought it.
They're
down.
All marked, all ready to collect from each mess, you see.
And you ate where round the table.
That's right, because there was other messes as well. They're not just ours, you see. They came from all over the country. You see. And
so when you finished breakfast, what happened then?
You went back. You fell in, got yourself titivated up, and then you fell in outside the. Mess, and you went marching. And you went either marching, or you went. They started you off on. Seamanship, knots and splices, something like that. That was about all we did for the first 6 weeks. And we went to school as well. We all had to go to school.
Would this be in the morning?
Sometimes in the afternoon, sometimes
so
in the morning.
You go through the morning, but you've gone and done a drill, presumably.
Yeah, that's
one
right.
Kind or another.
Yeah.
And that was typical military marching.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. And then in the afternoon, down to the school.
Was there a break in the morning?
Yes. There was a stand easy. It's called a stand easy. That's the break in the morning.
And what would you do
then
in
you
that
get your, then you get your dinner break, or lunchtime week, or dinner break.
In the morning, did you get a cup of tea?
You could get a cup of tea. Yeah.
Was there a naffy or canteen?
Yes, there was. Not Not where we were, but over in the main barracks that was. Not where we were, because they were seated. We were very, very sort of...
So you didn't get to that at
that
point.
No, we haven't got that stage. We were very... It's a pecking order system all the way through. You'll notice that it's very crafty. You start off at the bottom, absolute rubbish, and then when you even get a promotion when you go to main barracks sort of thing. That's a sort of a minor promotion for a boy, you know. And as you get over there, as you get... On in seniority.
So after break,
yeah,
the activity, the morning activity would again be what?
What they used to do, you see, they used to change you around a lot. They used to change you in position and all that, and doing all sorts of that, quite a lot of that sort of thing. And they'd describe a rifle to you. You'd see a rifle for the first time, you know, things like that. Little things, only gentle, but it was there, all right. And that was the original, and knots, a few bends and hitches, and things like that. There was nothing
much,
though. Did you
learn drill by numbers?
No.
You didn't have to shout out numbers as you did the various...
No, not the same as American Navy, no, not at all, American Army, whatever. No, you were just taught to march, and of course you've got some... You always got the one with the left leg, left right. You always got that, but I suppose there hasn't been anywhere in the world that hasn't had it. But they sort them. Well, these GIs were pretty good. They were great, hot stuff. They had them sussed out pretty quickly.
So you said you might do some with knots and tying knots and.
That's right. Yeah, and they, you had a lot of history. You had a lot told you about the Navy. You had quite a few. I mean, can't go the exact. We would have lectures from officers. We would have lectures from the church people. We would have lectures from the all kinds of moralistic things, you know, about the Navy and history of the Navy and the history of the Navy, like Nelson's battles and things like that. You know, all kinds of things like that. They told us, you know, in the classrooms. So. It wasn't that uninteresting, if you know what I mean. It was quite. We were learning on a learning curve all the time, you know.
But then you came to lunchtime or dinner time. What time would that be?
About 12:30, something like that. 12 o'clock. I can't remember
and
exactly.
Again, where did you do your feeding for dinner?
In the mess. Always
the
in
same
the
system.
Same
again,
system again. Yeah.
What kind of? I didn't ask you. And I should have asked you. What kind of food would you have got for breakfast?
Well, usually an egg or a boiled egg, a hard boiled egg and bread. Porridge, always porridge. You always got some porridge, hard-boiled egg and bread, or sometimes a fried egg and bread. You know, it just depends on how the cook felt. It was usually that kind of thing. It wasn't very. Sometimes it was a bit of bacon. Mind it, when I say bacon, you've got to believe it. It was, but you ate it because you were so damned hungry. You would eat anything. Because boys are the ravenous, you know. And that was about
the dinner time. Again, the same system of food being brought up to you.
That's right.
What might you
rotation? Rotation. Oh, you sometimes get soup, and sometimes you sort of soup of the day sort of thing. And then you get the usual. There was an awful lot of mince. We got a tremendous amount of mince, you know, in the Navy, and apples and potatoes and mince and things like that and greens. But it was pretty healthy stuff. And the best thing they ever made, I've never experienced anything to beat it since I left Shotley, was their steam pudding. It was absolutely fantastic. They used to get, what they call figgy duff, it was plum duff and custard. It was out of this world. Well, of course, what it was, the cooks of the mess, when you cook, your duty cook of the mess, you see, it's your job to go and collect all the stuff and wash up and everything. You've got a whole lot to do. But one of the perks was you cut up the duff. And this was what used to happen. And of course, you remember I told you about that trick about cutting up the cake, you know? Well, the art never lost me. We used to cut up the duff into so many down that way, so many down that way. And, you know, you cut it into how many there was in the mess. You see, it might be 24 in the mess. So you cut it into, worked it out into 24ths, you know. And you could usually, if you had your wits about you, you could usually work it so it didn't notice, but you got the biggest one again, if you were a cook, you see. But sometimes they went a bit daft, actually. I remember when later on there was a terrific kerfuffle because one of these cooks had gone a bit too far and he'd given the wrong chap a little bit. He pelted him with it. Oh, such a scrap. Because it was pretty hard, you know. But anyway, that's the answer to your question. And then the rest of the day, it's finished about 4 o'clock.
What time would lunch break finish?
About half past one.
What would be an afternoon's activity? Or likely to be?
Well, it could have been in the classroom, or it could have been in the gunnery school to show you around. Of course, it spread out. Of course, part of it was showing the barracks, you know, one of the things we had to go over the mast. That was one of the things you had to do as a nozzer. You had to go over the mast.
And that entailed what?
Well, the mast at Shotley, there's 6 places, ratlins, you know, like places to go up the mast. And you line up in front of the mast in 6s, you see. And the PT is there. Oh, I've forgotten the PT, because we did a lot of PT. I can't exactly remember the exact schedule, but fitted in there was trips to the gymnasium, which I told you I enjoyed very much, because some of them couldn't climb a rope, and I could, you see, because it was a tricky business, climbing ropes. Anyway, going up over the mast, the stand to the mast, and they had 6 you standing, and then they say, right, close up to the rigging, you see, man the rigging. And you used to man the rigging, which is, you used to go, I think, 4 or 5 ratlings. The ratlings are the things that go, the bits across. Of rope that go across it. Man the rigging, and that meant you went up about 5, and you stayed there, you see. And then you'd wait for the order, way aloft. And then when you got the order way aloft, it was a race to get up there, you see. And you couldn't go through the devil's elbow, because the first platform goes out, about 6 or 7 feet at least, probably more, out. So you've got to use your arms and hang mid-air and go hand over hand with your arms to get to the next sort of set of rigging, you know, for the mast, to go up to the next. And then you go right over the mast. You didn't at that time have to go over the button. You know, the button's is the top of the mast proper. But you had to go to the very top, you know, the very topmast, right to the topmast, and go over and then down the other side. Now, what they always used to do, which was a bit rough, because the last man of each set used to get a whack across it didn't hurt much, what they called a stonachy. The PTIs used to have a stonachy, and they used to whack you with this damn stonachy over the back.
What was that, a stick or something?
It was a sort of rope. It was a piece of rope, but it was like a rope's end, you know, and they used to belt you across the backside with it. It didn't worry anybody very much, you know. You got no letters home or anything. It would have been very, very infra-dig to complain to your parents. Good God.